Good morning, everyone. Whoa. Good morning. Well, welcome to Zion this morning. Aren't we all just so happy about this wonderful weather? I know I've just felt this lightness. It just feels good out there. It finally feels like spring. And it's also great we have Brian Moyer-Suderman here with us this morning, as we know from earlier. I'm excited to hear what he has to share through song and scripture after all the great learning and worship that's been happening this weekend. If you're visiting with us this morning, feel free to fill out one of the welcome cards in the front of the pews in front of you. And at this time, if you guys want to stand and greet one another, and if you have announcements, please come forward. Are there any announcements? I'm shocked. Not a single announcement? Wow. Well, for our call to worship this morning, we're actually going to be using the blue book, number 664. 664. As soon as I saw the weather this week, I immediately thought of this one. I just remembered it from the past, and I'm like, I want to use that one from the blue book that talks about the buds and the flowers. So I will read the leader, and of course, you will read the people. Watch, wait, the day of God is at hand. Stay awake, the reign of God is very near. May God bring justice to all people on this day. May God's reign come on earth as in heaven. Let's sing. Ooh.
Turn to page 89 in your blue book. 89. Please stand. And page 117, 117. Turn to page 79 in your green books. 79. I've asked Brian to help me out on the guitar because I thought this is a good song for guitar. But we haven't rehearsed. And everybody knows that I have rhythm issues sometimes. It's a little scary for me to do unrehearsed. So if he has to drop out, it's my fault. It's not his. Can you give me an...
Thank you.
our final song, a song of awe and adoration, page 105.
Will the ushers please come forward for the offering? Let's pray. Lord, let our congregation be a witness to you. Immersed in scripture, constant in prayer, joyful in worship, generous in giving, a loving, supportive community reaching out to those in need. Accept these gifts we offer in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, Brian Moyer Suderman is going to begin his time of sharing with us, but we're going to start with a time for the children. So if the children come forward, Brian is going to share something with you guys. I think you're going to learn a song.
Can you help me to know where I should be? Where does the person normally stand or sit when they have this time with you? Okay, over here? Would this be a good... Okay, good. So I'm going to do that. And where? Like over here? Like on the bench or standing up over here? On the bench? Yeah, okay, good. Thank you. Okay, how does that feel? Does that look about right? Yeah? We could move. Yeah, that would be great. Thank you very much. Oh, I'm so glad to be here, and I'm glad we're all here together. As we begin this part of our worship time, I'm hoping you can help me with something. And I have a question for you. Do any of you know what a detective is? It's kind of a tricky word, eh? Any idea what a detective is? You ever heard that word before? Yeah? No. How about out here? Should we ask these folks over here? I wonder, does anybody know what a detective is? What does a detective do? Ah, a detective is someone who looks for clues. A detective is someone who's trying to figure out something, trying to solve a mystery, trying to figure out what's going on, what happened. And so I have a song that I'd like to help you help with, because it's a very mysterious song, but it's all about what it's like for us to be detectives, and the special kind of detectives. It's detectives of divinity. Oh, boy. Now, if we didn't know what detectives meant, imagine detectives of divinity. What in the world does that mean? Can we look for clues of God, clues for what God is doing? Can we be those kinds of detectives? So to do that, there are some tools we can use. I happen to have brought some with me this morning, and you have some too. You may not even realize it. So every now and then, see, the guitar is going to lead us a little bit here. I'm going to turn this on. So whenever you hear the guitar making this sound, and it's a very mysterious kind of sound, listen carefully. Do you hear this? Doesn't that sound kind of mysterious? It's like, ooh. Yeah, it's kind of ooh. So whenever you hear that sound, when the guitar plays that sound, I'm hoping you can use your magnifying glasses. Did you bring your magnifying glasses this morning? Do you know what a magnifying glass is? It's something that, it's kind of old detective technology. And you kind of, it's something that helps you see better. It helps make things look bigger. It's like glasses, but big. And so if you reach back, if you take one of your hands, and you reach back to your back pocket, and that's all of us here in this room, you can do this too. Can I see your hands here? Can we have, yes, okay, we've got. If you take your hand and you reach to your back pocket, and if you don't have a back pocket, don't worry. It doesn't even matter. You can just reach back there and pull out your hand. I think you might see that you have a magnifying glass in your hand. Okay, let's give it a try. Let's start again. Here are your hands. I can see them all. Look all around. Look at all these detectives we have in the room. Okay, now let's reach back there and pull out your hand. And do you have it? Do you have your? Let's see. Hold them up. Hold them up high so we can see them. Look at all these magnifying glasses. We have all this detective equipment. Oh, amazing. So here's the thing. When you hear the guitar go like this, that's a great time for you to pull out your magnifying glass and look around for clues. You think you can do that? Ready? Should we practice? Well, are you curious how these folks are going to look as detectives looking for clues? I am too. Let's do this all together. Are you ready? Have you gotten your magnifying glasses ready? Can I see them? Where are they? Sure enough, there's lots of them. Okay, here we go. Good, you've already learned how to use this equipment. So that's how it works. So the song goes like this. I'm going to sing the chorus of the song, and you can be learning it. And whenever the guitar does that, you can pull out your magnifying glass and be ready to sing along, okay? Are you ready? Here we go. The song goes like this. And for those of you who can read, the words are up there, if that helps you. Here we go. We are detectives of divinity. We're looking all around for signs of God's activity wherever they are found. God is up to something, of that you can be sure. So start the investigation. The clues are everywhere. Ready to look for clues? Here we go. Get ready. So this song is going to come around before too long in part of our worship time. So now would be a time for you to go to wherever is the right place for you to go at this time of the worship. And then, but be ready, keep looking for clues, and we'll all be looking for clues throughout this morning, throughout the time we have together. Okay? Thank you very much. Thanks for using your equipment and helping me teach this song. I love this, the way this community of detectives is helping each other out here. That's exactly how it needs to be. I will bless you, I will bless you, I will bless you so that you'll be a blessing too. I will bless you, I will bless you, I will bless you so that you'll be a blessing too. Yes, great singing. Some of you have a head start with that one. Do you know where those words come from? Do you recognize that? I'll give you a clue. This is not just Brian standing here and saying, I will bless you. Although I trust that this time together will be a blessing for you and for me and for all of us together. But when we sing these words, we are singing ancient, ancient words. These are words of Scripture that we are singing together. This is Genesis 12. This is the call of Abram and Sarai, Abraham and Sarah. This is God saying, I have a plan. I have a dream. I have a purpose and intentions. And I have a strategy. And my intentions are for the blessing of the whole world, the well-being of all. And my strategy is this. My strategy is to form of you a community. And through this community, I intend to bless all communities of the earth. That, in sum, is how that goes. Genesis 12. Through this family, I'm going to bless all families. I'm forming a people, and through this people, I'm going to bless all peoples. It's an amazing vision. And I believe it still is in force today. I think that ancient vision is still happening. And I love to begin different kinds of sessions and experiences with that song, because for me it helps me to remember who I am and who we are and who we are called and invited to be. It's part of that, part of God's ongoing purposes in the world. I will bless you and make you a blessing. So are you ready to sing that now? With even more understanding, I invite you to do that. I will bless you, I will bless you, I will bless you so that you'll be a blessing too. I will bless you, I will bless you, I will bless you so that you'll be a blessing too. So how do we do that? How do we live that calling and that vocation? What are some of the tools we need? Well, we'll get to the detectives part in just a moment. But I want to, before we do that, there's another song I want to invite us to sing together. And this is what we've been doing already, a number of us, throughout the weekend, as we explore different passages of Scripture, and we seek more clues about what God is doing, what God's purposes are, and how we are invited and called to be part of it. And that's not always an easy thing. It can be a very, very challenging thing. So this song expresses a little bit of that. It's called Wrestling with the Scriptures, so I think you'll have words there shortly. And someone asked me why I always retune my guitar when I lead this song. And this is why. I was learning a new tuning, a new kind of musical language on the guitar a while back. And it's called dadgad tuning. It's a different kind of tuning. You get a different kind of sound. And in part because this song that I wrote quite a while ago, I wrote it in the key of D major, and it was a very kind of happy, bouncy kind of song. And it never seemed to work quite right. It was like, wait a minute, that's not really the, that kind of music doesn't really fit the words, doesn't really fit what this is all about. So I didn't use it for the longest time. And I had to learn a new musical language in order to be able to sing this song. Because this song, I'll sing the chorus, and if you know it, you can sing along, and then we'll talk about it just a little bit more. It goes like this. Wrestling with the scriptures, wrestling with the word, wrestling with an angel, wrestling with the Lord, wrestling with each other, wrestling to be heard, wrestling with the scriptures, wrestling with the word. That's how it goes. When I wrote this, I was going for the world record of how many times you could use the word wrestling in one song. And I think I'm still the champion. If you know of any challengers, please let me know. That's a lot of times to say wrestling. But this, so when we sing that, those of you who kind of have some musical, you know, maybe you've studied music, what do you think? Is this in a minor key or a major key, this song? That's one of the beauties of this dadgad tuning. It's what they call a modal tuning. And it's a bit ambiguous. Is it minor? Is it major? It depends. There's moments where it feels like a major key, but there's other moments where it feels like a minor key. And that seemed to fit well with what this song is trying to do. This journey of wrestling with the scriptures as we seek to participate with God and what God is doing in the world. And there's great joy and there's great challenge on that journey. So, anyway, we don't have to do more of a guitar music lesson on that, but that's maybe helpful information as we sing this together. Wrestling with the scriptures, wrestling with the word, wrestling with an angel, wrestling with the Lord, wrestling with each other, wrestling to be heard, wrestling with the scriptures, wrestling with the word. Jacob was a wrestler, he wrestled till the dawn, wrestled with a stranger, would not let him go on, until the stranger blessed him, left with a limping walk. Somehow in this wrestling, he saw the face of God. Wrestling with the scriptures, wrestling with the word, wrestling with an angel, wrestling with the Lord, wrestling with each other, wrestling to be heard, wrestling with the scriptures, wrestling with the word. Jesus was a wrestler, he wrestled 40 days, wrestled in the wilderness, temptation had to face, with Satan quoting scripture, and Jesus quoting too, emerged from all this wrestling with a message of good news. Mm-hmm. Wrestling with the scriptures, wrestling with the word, wrestling with an angel, wrestling with the Lord, wrestling with each other, wrestling to be heard, wrestling with the scriptures, wrestling with the word. Jacob was a wrestler, and I'm a wrestler too. Jesus wrestled mightily, and so my friends will you. When scripture is the ring where this wrestling's going on, listening to each other, we might hear the voice of God. Yes, listening to the other, we just might hear the voice of God. When scripture is the ring where this wrestling is going on. I don't know if you've ever experienced scripture that way. Maybe you have. Maybe we do. Like a wrestling ring. It's one of those absolutely key tools we have as detectives of divinity. To try to understand what is God up to, what are God's purposes, and how can we be part of them, even now. Even in the midst of what's going on around us, even as challenging as that might be to do that detective work and to figure out. So I want to invite us this morning to engage one more text. Those of you who have been doing this with me this weekend, we've looked at a whole number of texts. This morning together we will look at another story where we see Jesus engaging with others and engaging with Scripture in doing a kind of analysis of what's going on, what is God up to, and how can we participate. So I invite us all to be detectives this morning and step into the ring together. What do you say? Are you ready for that? Let's give it a try. I would invite you to turn with me, if you have this technology handy, in whatever form. Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. Starting at the beginning of that chapter. Matthew 11, verse 1. Now when Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach his message in their cities. And when John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Detectives, there's lots to notice here already as the scene is set for us. This is an intensely political scene and situation and conversation, and it's an intensely scriptural one. Right? We have John the Baptist, in prison. That's a signal to us of, oh, okay. Yeah, we are in the realm of intensely political dynamics here. What is John doing in prison? Later on in Matthew, we discover that part of why John is in prison is because he's been calling the ruler on inappropriate relationship with women. Isn't that interesting? John is in prison. He hears what the Messiah is doing, that is the anointed one, the royal one. And a Messiah is a royal figure, a kingly figure. Ooh, there's another political situation. He's heard what the Messiah is doing. That is the son of David, the coming king. Well, when there's a coming king, how would the current king feel about that? Well, in Matthew's gospel, we already know some of that dynamic too, of how the king felt when he heard that there was a newborn king come and the kind of actions he took, right? So this is intensely political and life and death stuff here. John is in prison. He hears what the Messiah is doing, and he sends word by his disciples. So he's in prison. He can't do it himself, but he sends disciples to go and ask Jesus, are you the one who is to come, or should we wait for another? That's interesting. We just were told he heard what the Messiah was doing. So apparently he knows and he thinks Jesus is the Messiah. But now he's asking a question. Well, are you really the Messiah? Are you really the one who is to come? Or should we be waiting for another? So it's a very contextual question, a very political one, and a very scriptural one. How does a Messiah act? What can you expect when you see a Messiah coming? What does that look like? What are the clues we have in Scripture of what a Messiah looks like? Well, there's plenty of wrestling we could do and will do with Scripture to understand what a Messiah is like. Because I think John in prison, we might overlook this sometimes after 2,000 years of history. He has good reason to be a bit confused here. You can read all kinds of different texts in the Scriptures about the Messiah who will come and will break the nations with a rod of iron and will, you know, those kinds of descriptions of a Messiah coming. So if Jesus is Messiah, well, is he really? John is doing some wrestling here. John is wrestling with the Scriptures and with his context to try to understand what is going on. And maybe we are too, doing some wrestling. How do we understand what's going on around us? How do we understand what's going on around us in light of what we read in Scripture? Can Scripture help us to understand and make sense of what's going on around us, politically and economically and ecologically and in all the different kinds of ways, and personally? And it's all part of what it is to be spiritually, right? What's going on? How can we make sense? What is God? God, what are you doing? What are you up to? Are you the one who is to come, or should we wait for another? It's a very real question, and John is sitting in prison, waiting and hoping for an answer. So are you curious how Jesus responds? Let's find out. Jesus answered them, go tell John what you hear and see. And then there's a long list. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. The poor have good news brought to them. Blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. So that's how Jesus responds to the question. Are you the one who is to come, or should we wait for another? And Jesus says, well, look around. You tell me. What do you see? What do you see me doing here? Here's what you see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news to them. You tell me. Does that sound like a Messiah to you? So Jesus doesn't resolve it for John. Jesus gives him this list that is, on the one hand, a descriptive list of his work. That's what we've been finding. And we read stories of Jesus. This is what he's doing. This kind of good news for all these different people. It's what Jesus is doing. Does that fit the concept of Messiah? Does that fit the role? Well, you know, I think Jesus might be doing even more than just an action plan or a description of his activity. I'd like to read for you a few passages of Scripture from the prophet Isaiah. And while I read those, keep in mind this list that Jesus has said. Are you the one, or should we wait? Well, look around. This is what you see. What's happening with all these different groups of people. When we read in Isaiah, a prophet many, many years, centuries before Jesus, you know, we have texts like this. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear, here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer. The tongue of the speechless sing for joy. Waters shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, a thirsty ground, springs of water, and so on. Did any of that list sound familiar to you? Do you notice some common elements between that list and what Jesus is saying, what Jesus is doing? That's from Isaiah 35. Here, from Isaiah 29. Let's see. On that day, the deaf shall hear the words of a scroll, and out of their gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord. The neediest people shall exult in the Holy One of Israel. Sound familiar? How about this? Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me, has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion. Sound familiar? Okay, so when Jesus is delivering his response to the disciples of John, saying, who ask, are you the one who is to come, the Messiah? Or should we wait for another? And Jesus says, well, look around. What do you see and hear? What am I doing? If you know these passages from Isaiah, you can't help but hear the echoes, I think. Right? You can't help but say, oh, yeah. Jesus' agenda here, Jesus' work plan, isn't just picked out of nowhere. Jesus' work plan here is deeply derived from what we already read in Scripture long before. God's ongoing purposes, God's ongoing work. And it has these characteristics. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news. Right? It can seem pretty clear to us, I think. But again, I think we can forgive John, we can understand John. It's also kind of challenging. Because, well, what about these other passages that describe a Messiah in different kinds of terms? What about those? What kind of wrestling with the Scriptures do we need to do to understand what Jesus is doing, what Jesus is about, what choices Jesus is making? And I'm particularly struck that Isaiah 61 passage includes, did you catch it? Freedom for the prisoners. Interestingly, that's not on the list that Jesus responds to John, who is sitting in prison. Maybe that's one that he's especially waiting to hear. So is that not part of Jesus' agenda? Well, I mean, in Luke's gospel, when Jesus begins his ministry, he reads exactly that portion from Isaiah, including freedom for the captives. Oh, we still have lots of questions, don't we? There's still wrestling to do. But these scriptures can help us to understand what are God's enduring purposes? What is God up to? God is up to something. Of that you can be sure. What is God up to? How can we understand? How can we participate? So in the midst of our trying to make sense of our current realities and all that it includes, political and otherwise, how can Scripture help us make sense of that? How can what we see around us help us make sense of what we read in Scripture? Detective work. So I think it's time to sing our detective song once again. I hope you still have your detective technology handy. You might want to polish up your magnifying glasses while I, again, retune my guitar to a standard tuning. Okay, are you ready? Can I see your magnifying glasses? Where are they? Oh, they still are. Okay, very good. Here we go. We are... No. Yeah, that's how it goes. I was getting confused with another song. Here we go. We are detectives of divinity. We're looking all around for signs of God's activity wherever they are found. God is up to something, of that you can be sure. So start the investigation, the clues are everywhere. Yes, okay. When I wake up in my bed, the first thing that I see, sunlight spilling through my window shines all over me. A clue already? Can it be? I think it is, I say. God's love's already shining before I start my day. We are detectives of divinity. We're looking all around for signs of God's activity wherever they are found. God is up to something, of that you can be sure. So start the investigation, the clues are everywhere. Baptizer John needed proof, so he sent some friends to investigate if Jesus really was the one God sent. Jesus answered, "Go tell John what you have seen and heard. The lame are walking, blind can see. There's good news for the poor." Let's sing. We are detectives of divinity. We're looking all around for signs of God's activity wherever they are found. God is up to something, of that you can be sure. So start the investigation, the clues are everywhere. So let's ask questions, follow leads, check for DNA, dusting for God's fingerprints each and every day. Those fingerprints are everywhere if you have eyes to see, 'cause God is far from finished with you and you and me. Oh, let's sing together. We are detectives of divinity. We're looking all around for signs of God's activity wherever they are found. God is up to something, of that you can be sure. So start the investigation, the clues are everywhere. So this weekend, we've been reading the Bible with Jesus. What does it look like to learn about interpreting Scripture by paying attention to the way the Gospels describe Jesus interpreting Scripture? Well, here we see Jesus making some correlations between what he reads in Scripture, what he finds there, and making some decisions and ordering his life with certain priorities and goals. Right? And this is what we see. These are indicators for Jesus of what he is about. And he kind of says, "You tell me. What do you think? Am I the one who is to come, or are you to wait for another?" Well, the interaction goes on. This next part we're going to do a lot more quickly, but oh, there's so much to explore here. As they went away, the disciples of John, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see when you went out to see John? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you." Ah, this is the one about whom it is written. Again, we see Jesus making correlations between what's happening now around him and what is written long ago in Scripture. And he's making a pretty audacious claim here. John has asked Jesus a contextual question and a scriptural question. And now Jesus, interestingly, are you the one? And now Jesus, interestingly, is speaking to the others about John, and he is making connections between Scripture and present reality, and he is saying, John is this one who is promised, I'm sending my messenger ahead of you. And if you look up that text in Malachi 3:1, you'll find some interesting things. See, this is the kind of thing we've been exploring, Jesus' use of Scripture. How does he do that? What can we learn from that? It goes on, "Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Oh, there's so many more questions we might have about this. What's that all about? Sorry, detectives, that's a case for another time. We don't have time to explore all of the leads in this particular case. "For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John came, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. Let anyone with ears listen." If you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. Isn't that interesting? It sounds so very postmodern, doesn't it? Awareness. There are different interpretive options available to you. You may not take this understanding, but if you are willing to accept it, you can understand John the Baptist right now as Elijah, who is promised that Elijah will come again before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Who is the one who is to come? It's interesting how Jesus is playing with this question and how Jesus is using Scripture to engage the people around to help make sense of what's going on. And Jesus is using Scripture to help them see what God is up to. And he's helping them to see the kind of part that John plays, even when you wonder, does John quite understand all this himself? Well, I think we can see that there is really such joyful, life-giving possibilities here for how Scripture can help us to make sense of what's going on, help us to understand, help us to grapple with what we see around us and discern together, what do we do? How do we respond to the situation we find ourselves in? What are God's priorities? What would Jesus have us do now, given what's happening now, all around us and within us? What would Jesus have us do? There's such life-giving possibilities here, and Scripture can help so much in that. But let's be aware and let's be honest. We also know how absolutely dangerous it can be to use Scripture in this way, right? This move that Jesus is making to say, if you choose to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. Ah, that can really help. But I think we've also had experiences where that can really be dangerous too. When you identify someone or something now with that figure from Scripture. I'd like to go back to the song we sang at the very beginning. This. "I will bless you, I will bless you, I will bless you, so that you'll be a blessing to..." Right? What a life-giving vision for our ongoing role in God's ongoing work in the world. To form a people and to bless all peoples. Ah, but even that vision, well, it's kind of dangerous, right? This good news vision of God, the formation of a people, includes, for example, the promise of land. I'm going to give you land. And it's good news. There will be enough. And you are to handle the land in such a way that everyone will have enough. And that there will not be a permanent underclass and multi-generational poverty among you because some are accumulating and some have nothing. There's provision for distribution of land, for redistribution of land in the Jubilee. This is all part of that scriptural good news. But, oh, this promise of forming a people and giving a people land, oh, it's also dangerous and problematic and complicated in a whole variety of ways, right? What about the people who are already in the land? What about them? What does that... Oh, so we know this is a very complicated history within Scripture and within our lives, within our, well, the Oregon Trail, right? So that promise of land, here's a second part. That song that I wrote, it kind of, based on the Scripture, it has multiple parts. You can sing it as a round. So that's the first part. The second part is like this. Now you'll see it. It goes, go to the land that I will show you. I will bless you through your family. I will bless all the families of the earth. Right, it's, oh, that's good news. But let me tell you a little story about, I visited my brother and sister-in-law a number of years ago when they were living in Pietermaritzburg, South Africa. And I'd never been to South Africa before. And one of the places we went was to the Apartheid Museum in Johannesburg. And we also went to another museum, the Boer Museum in Pietermaritzburg. And there was a picture there on the wall of the Battle of Blood River. And it depicts this moment in South African history where these settlers, Dutch settlers at the time, the Great Trek, moving into the interior, into land that they understood to be promised to them by God. They understood themselves as God's people, and God had promised them this land, and would, in fact, help them to conquer the inhabitants of the land so they could take over the land. And they understood this as part of what Scripture taught them, part of what God intended for them. And there's this particular moment where there was this prayer to God saying, God, if you will give us victory over these people around us, we will build you a church building. And I believe that church building is, that's where this museum is housed. And then the picture is of the slaughter of thousands and thousands and thousands of South African people who were there, black people. And it's horrific. It's an absolutely horrific. And when we visited there, there was a Zulu woman who was the tour guide and who was sitting underneath that painting and was helping to teach us about South African history. And now, even in this post-apartheid era, right, the apartheid system of discrimination has been legally dismantled politically, but in terms, there's still so many issues, so many, oh. And part of what shocked me about that museum was that it looked so familiar to me. I live in Kitchener, Waterloo, Ontario. And there's the Joseph Schneider House just down the street from where we live. And it's a pioneer house. And the era is exactly the same era. The Conestoga wagons, the big Bible, the big hymnal, all the things that came with the settlers, with the Mennonite settlers who settled that area. And the history is different in some ways, in terms of a number of dynamics. But this history of coming in and, well, who... a promised land. How do you understand God to be functioning? And how do you understand yourself to be relating to people who are already there in the land? And the dangers of that. And in Canada, we are really trying to grapple with that, but there was a truth and reconciliation process in Canada that was kind of patterned after the South African truth and reconciliation process in some ways. But it's complicated, isn't it? It's dangerous. And I think there's dynamics here that I'm sure resonate with your own understanding of your history too. So Scripture can be used in such violent ways too. If you understand yourself as the new Joshua and the new people, that God is going to give you the land and God is going to conquer on your behalf the people. Oh, so dangerous. So when Jesus makes this move, if you choose to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. Ah. So helpful. Scripture is so helpful and important to help us understand God's purposes. But let's not be blind to the dangers of that too. We are called to be detectives, to wrestle. And this text where Jesus is saying, you want to know, am I the one? This is what I'm doing. These are my priorities. This is the work that I'm about and that I'm calling my disciples to be about. Now you have some decisions to make. How are you going to understand Elijah? How are you going to understand Messiah? How are you going to understand your own role in the world? How are we going to understand those things? So I wrote a third part to this song, which is kind of a bit of my commentary on this to help us guard against some of the potential misuses, I think, of this text and this promise and this vision. The third part goes like this. It's not for you to keep for yourselves. It's not because you're better than someone else. It's not because I love you more than all the others. I want your help to share my love with everyone. I will bless you, and so on. So if we, it's kind of tricky to do, you know, on a first time learning. But they actually, these three parts of the song actually do fit together as a round. But it's kind of complicated. Maybe you want to try that sometime. Well, oh, this is quite a journey we've had already this morning with this, just even this portion of walking with Jesus and wrestling with the scriptures in the company of each other and the company of Jesus. I want to close with another song that's also based on scriptures, based on various prophetic texts. Again, I think we are called and invited to do this, to make this move, to draw on these scriptures to help us understand our role. But it does and will involve wrestling. There is good news here. There is. And I want to encourage you in your ongoing walk and journey of discipleship, your ongoing walk and journey as detectives of divinity, seeking to pay attention to what is God doing in our midst, and how can we participate with God's purposes, God's priorities, as we understand them in Jesus. So here's another song. I invite you to sing this with me. It goes like this. There's a new world coming. It's already here. There's a new world on its way. There's a new world coming. It's already here. Let's begin to live that way. Yeah, you got it. That's how it goes. When I first wrote this song and recorded it, I got a call from my sister-in-law, who was putting my niece to bed. She was about 5 at the time. And my niece Zoe said to Rebecca, I said, Mom, this new song by Uncle Brian, it doesn't make any sense. What is that? If there's a new world coming, what does it mean it's already here? And if it's already here, what does that mean? It's not, well, like, this doesn't make any sense, Mom. What's wrong with Uncle Brian? Yeah, it's this, you know, this already but not yet of the kingdom of God, right? God's purposes, God's kingdom, which we pray will come on earth as it is in heaven. Ah, it's coming. May it come. May we keep praying that it come. And we look forward to its coming. And it's already here. We can experience it. We're called to be part of living that reality already now, even in small ways. And as detectives, we've been given some clues this morning of what are some of those ways that it looks like. What is Jesus about in the world? Look around. What do you see me doing, says Jesus? What are my priorities? You can live the kingdom of God now. Experience it now. Help others experience it now, even in small ways. We can. And oh, we yearn for its fulfillment, right? We yearn for its fullness. We yearn for God's will to be fully done on earth as it is in heaven. But so I think it's okay sometimes that we sing songs that are kind of hard to understand. That we even sing songs that when we are children, we don't quite get, but we grow into more and more understanding. There is, my friends, my brothers and sisters, there's a new world coming. Praise God. It's good news. And when we look around, that can be so hard to see, right? But you know what? It is already here. We can see it. We can experience it, even if it's in small ways. Let's pay attention to that. Let's be detectives. Let's help each other be detectives. And keep living into this vision of God's purposes for the world. So I want to invite you to sing this with me. I want to invite you to stand that'll help us, I think, to sing this. I realize it's been a long time. Thank you for going with me on this journey. There's a new world coming. It's already here. There's a new world on its way. There's a new world coming. It's already here. Let's begin to live that way. Now, the imagination of the prophets that could help us imagine things that are even beyond our capacity to imagine. Can you imagine the big bad wolf making friends with the lamb? Every creature in harmony with the little child leading them. There's a new world coming. It's already here. There's a new world on its way. There's a new world coming. It's already here. Let's begin to live that way. Can you imagine the city streets full of health and joy? Old men and women who live in peace and the laughter of girls and boys. Oh, there's a new world coming. It's already here. There's a new world on its way. There's a new world coming. It's already here. Let's begin to live that way. Can you imagine the world restored, earth and heavens too? Right at home with the one who says, I am making all things new. Yeah, sing. There's a new world coming. It's already here. There's a new world on its way. There's a new world coming. It's already here. Let's begin to live that way. Let's begin. Let's begin to live that way. We can begin. We can begin to live that way. Amen.
Thank you very much, Brian. That continues the experience of blessing we've had with Brian's presence with us. Before the service began, there was one thing that I forgot to do, that I'm going to do right now, and that is to light this candle here that has reminded us of Jana's sabbatical. And this next Sunday, she will be back with us. Actually, she comes into the office on Tuesday of this week. And while we have the fellowship meal, I'll have the big welcome back card out for anyone who hasn't had a chance to sign that for her yet. But before we go to prayer, I'm going to light it now. And she has had, over the course of the sabbatical, another candle exactly like that, the match of that, that she has had lit at various times. And for our prayer time, I'll simply lead some prayers of the Lord's Prayer where I'll pause and then you can bring to God whatever concern matches that part of the Lord's Prayer. And then we'll say the Lord's Prayer together, and also that prayer will include a blessing for the meal that we'll have together shortly. So please join me in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. So here now in this moment of waiting, our prayers of praise to you and thanksgiving. Thank you, Eli, yes, for taking care of Dan and Linda, and for Jana and Craig during this time as well. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And hear our prayers, O God, for the healing of any wounds among us or between us or in this world as we lift them up to you as well and pray for, indeed, signs of your kingdom growing. Give us this day our daily bread, O God, and hear our prayers as we pray for any needs, our own or those of others that we know, for bread, for shelter, for jobs, for any other, for healing, for anything else. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So hear, dear God, any confession of sin that we bring to you, any guilt or burden or debt, as well as anything that we have against anyone else. Help us to pray for them as well and release them. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So hear as well, O God, the prayers in our hearts are longing for growth and maturity and holiness and sanctification and transformation into your character in whatever area of our lives you're working on. And Lord, again, may the sharing that we have heard from our brother Brian bear fruit and take root and bear fruit in our lives. Give us an even greater hunger for your word and a greater hunger for Jesus and the ability to read the world and your word through his eyes, his heart, his mind. Bless our brother Brian in his travels and his ministry from here. And bless the food and the fellowship that we shall share as well. And hear us again as we pray the entirety of the prayer that your Son, our Lord, taught us to pray with all saints in all times and places as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Turn to page 117 in the Blue Book, and please stand. We'll sing the last verse down at the bottom, and we'll end with a beautiful amen. Depart in peace.